Well, it's been a good day. Good afternoon, actually. I don't know, I just enjoyed today so much, being together. You know, there's power in words, and we sang some pretty powerful words during our time of worship tonight. I was just trying to remember some of those words that... One song, you hear me when I call. You are my morning song. The darkness fills the night. It cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. We are proclaiming truth in Jesus Christ. And it is so important that we understand the power of words. What happens in the spirit realm. Dale talked about some of this last night. But I think if we could get a glimpse of what happens in the spirit realm, if we can ever get a glimpse of that, it totally changes our view of time and eternity. Because there really is a battle that we are engaged in. And that's what Ephesians is talking about. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The battle is real. And we must be prepared to engage in battle and to fight. Because that's what God is asking us to do. My subject tonight is fathering to future generations. And I have had a lot of different thoughts and have really had a hard time in knowing exactly where I should go, but I'm okay with that because I found that when I feel the most prepared is when sometimes the least happens. And I just want us to bow our heads in prayer, and I just want to be praying about this evening. I know this is a subject that is very dear to God's heart, and I'm not going to proclaim in any way to have attained this, of knowing what it is to be a great father or a perfect father. But I do know that God empowers us to do what He calls us to do. And I go back to that song, we do not need to fear. Because God has given us the power. He has given us everything that we need. There's a verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. And it goes on with more of that. But we have everything that we need to step into every area of life and to be successful in the battles before us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. Let's pray. God, I just pray tonight that You would move in our midst. God, I pray that You would touch hearts. I just pray, God, that the words that You want spoken would be spoken tonight. We give You glory, and we proclaim that You are God above all, and we honor You and worship You tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Several weeks ago, I was in a local business back in Penn Yan, New York. And there's a family that has intrigued me for years because I see so much good coming out of their lives. They're not a church-going family, not professing Christians by any stretch of the imagination. But they've raised two sons that are good boys. And I went one day, I think I dropped off a check. I don't remember exactly what I was doing. I may have been checking about some other information. And the father, the owner of the business, was there. And I began to ask him, I said, so where are your sons? What's going on and what's happening in their lives? And they're all often in the shop. They're working with him or at times, although they're employed in different areas. And he began to tell me that his oldest son is wanting to get married and moved back in the Penn Yan area. He lives in Rochester right now. His work is up there. And He said, you know, he said, they want to start a family. And he said, you know, Penn Yan is not what it used to be. He said, there's a lot of junk going on in our town. And he went back and he said, you know, you and I were raised with good morals and good values. We were raised on farms and we learned to work. And those are good things. And we talked for a long time. And I went home that night and I was just really blown away by the conversation and by what happened. And I was just thinking, you know, here is this family that has lived good lives in our community, but they don't know Jesus Christ. He said, our second son made the statement recently that, you know, with the condition of the world today, I really don't want to bring children into this world. And, you know, I've actually been in conversations with believers and may have actually been involved in it years ago, where I said something to the effect that, you know, with everything that's happening in our world today, it's almost scary to be bringing children into this world. And I understand a sense of that, but I'm going to speak against that today, because we are given power through Jesus Christ to be light in the dark world. And I tell you, there is nothing that stands out in a community more than a family who loves the Lord and whose children rise up and are a blessing to the community and become light to that community as well. And I tell you, I don't think for a minute, and I know there's a lot of young people here tonight, and I just want to commend you young people. I've been blessed by you coming and sitting here, and really all of you, just with the hunger and the desire that I see for more of God. But you know, we don't need to fear. We just sang that, didn't we? We do not need to fear the future. We do not need to be afraid of what happens 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road. And I tell you, I'm as human as everybody else, and I'm a realist to the point where I say, yeah, some of the stuff that's going on in our country scares me. But I believe that our God is sovereign and that He is all-powerful, and that whatever our president wants to do or the direction that our country goes, God is still going to be sovereign and He is still going to be all-powerful, and that His way is going to be accomplished. You know, the book tells us, the Bible tells us, that at the end of this all, we are winners. And all we have to do is fight the battle. And I'm encouraged by that, because that is the life that we walk. That's the world that we live in. Fathers have been severely attacked in our country. And I don't need to tell you that. We know that. And I see that it's really multifaceted. I read statistics that in, I think it was the end of 2012, there were 15 million children in the United States who did not live with their father. That's 1 in 3 of the children in the United States. I believe that the women's liberation movement has struck a heavy blow against fatherhood. But I don't believe the problem started there. I believe the problem is because fathers did not stand in their role and became wimps and stood back and did not live in the very things that God wanted them to do. You know, I set an alarm for 7 o'clock this morning, and it's going now. Anyway, I knew that was going to happen. I was going to shut it off. Men have not stood in their place. And I believe it is because of that that the women's liberation movement has gotten traction and has done what it has done in our country. And I wish I could say that this has only happened in the world. But I am afraid, I can say today with full confidence, because I've seen it and I believe many of you have seen it as well, the same problem is within the church. Men have become wimps way too often. And I commend you men who are here, who are standing up for truth. And I believe that's what you're doing. And I challenge you, do not back down on that. But you need to stand up as leaders in your community and in your home, because that's what God is calling us to. The problem with children in America, and too often within the church, is because fathers have no idea where they stand. I was talking with an individual here just a little bit ago about the whole identity thing. You know where we men too often find our identity? In what we do. And you watch when men get together in conversation, the first thing we ask is, so what's your name? And oftentimes the second thing we ask, so what do you do? And we need to get past that. We need to be confident of our identity in Jesus Christ. And while I understand that thing, I just went through job change recently. Left the farm about 10 years ago, 13 years ago. And have been in several jobs since then. And a part of that has undone me. But I believe it can be a good thing. Because our identity is not in what we do, but it's in who we are. And we need to be sure of that. We need to stand in that. And that's the only way that we can be the fathers that God is calling us to be. And I know we've talked about some of that, and some of the stuff I'm going to be talking about tonight, I know that has already been touched on, and some of it's going to be touched on tomorrow. But that's okay. This is only the second time the four of us have done anything together, and this time is really quite different than the last time. And we've just purposed to allow God to do what he wants to do, and that's really our heart's desire. On Wednesday evening, I spoke about the Father's love, and I talked a lot about my story. And I just want to be very clear tonight that I believe there is absolutely no room in my life or in anybody's life to put blame on somebody else for who I am or for how I've turned out. I have heard so much of that in my life, and I'm so tired of it. And it is a cop-out. Because we all are given everything that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Every one of us. And if there are issues in our past, God has already given us the tools to deal with them. And then in confidence to step forward with the sword in our hand to fight the battle that is before us. And I tell you, man, we need to be fighting for our families. I have a bit of a hard time standing up here tonight for several reasons. But one of them is I have found part of this very difficult in my life in the last number of years, and I'm not sure why. And so God has been speaking to me in the last while about needing to step up and needing to allow him to show me how to lead my family and to be confident about that. Some of the situations I've gone through, I think, I have allowed to erode that confidence and have believed a lie. And God has begun to show me that I need to step up and I need to be who God has asked me to be. Recently, I was engaged in a conversation with an acquaintance, somebody I've known for years, haven't known extremely well. And as we talked, I began to hear pain in his heart that I knew was there, but have never identified exactly what it was. He was a man who's older than I am. And he talked very clearly about some of the woundings as a young man that were given to him by his father, who, by the way, is a believer. The guy loves the Lord. But this man chose to take a path of separation rather than a path of healing. And I believe in his own mind, he felt that what he was doing, he was accomplishing what he was looking for. And so as I look back on this, it was about 2 weeks ago where I talked with him. And as I look back at this, I've just thought about this conversation so much in the last 2 weeks. And I see that during that time, he has totally separated himself. He lives about 1,000 miles away from most of his family. And he's just separated himself. He's buried himself in his work. He's married. He has two children. His children grew up. And the parents did everything they could for them. And I know in their heart, they really wanted to be the best parents that they could be. But there's something happened about 3 years ago. And as this man sat and he talked with me, I heard the pain in his heart that I never knew was there. his son now is 25, I think, 24, 25 years old. And about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, he went away to college. And in college, he chose to take on a new identity. His father knew nothing about it until one day he got a call from his bank. And he said, sir, we need you to come in to sign some papers because your son is changing his name. And this man, he began to tear up, and he's not a very emotional person, but he began to tear up, and I felt the pain as he began to talk about going to the bank and saying, what is this really all about? And the banker said, well, I'm not really sure, but he's already filed these papers. He has already changed his last name. The man looked at me and he said, what was I supposed to do? He said, I signed the papers and I went home. I said, I was devastated. Because the best thing that I could give him, he no longer wanted. He rejected. His response was, the very next day, he went to the college, which is about 60 miles away. He had given his son a pickup truck and said, you can use this. And he met him and he said, look, if that's the way you're going to be, you can no longer have your truck. And he took the truck home. And he got home and something began to stir inside of him. And he said, you know what, that was a very childish response. I can't be doing this. And he took the truck back and he gave it to his son and he said, look, it's okay. This went on for 3 years, and I wasn't aware of it. I knew because I had seen a different name on Facebook, and I'm like, whatever. He just gave himself a different name. This went on for 3 years, at least 3 years. It may have been a little longer. The son graduated from college, and he went on to Japan for a year to teach English. And he's in Japan in. At the end of his time there, the father went to Japan to meet his son and to spend some time with him and to deliberately spend some time with him and going back over some of the lands that his forefathers had come from in Germany. And they just set out to spend some time together as father and son and to experience some healing. As this man was going through all of this process, he met with an individual, and I don't know who the individual is. He mentioned a name, and I think it's somebody that he has leaned on pretty heavily over the years and seeking some direction and probably some counsel. And this man, when he told him what his son had done, he looked at him and he said, your son is fighting your battle. It has put this man on a journey of restoring his relationship with his father. And it's the thing that really needed to happen in the beginning. Because I've watched this relationship. And years ago, I remember so clearly being in conversation with other friends and just a concern about the distance that this man has placed, where he has placed himself in relation to his family. And I remember just thinking, as much as he wants to be right, in right relationship with his son, until he allows healing to happen with his father, it's never going to happen. And I thought I was wrong, because I saw this go on, and the family seemed to be functioning great, and all of a sudden it blew up. And I was moved incredibly in that conversation. And I just encouraged him. Out of my own story, I said, you need to understand that your father is also a wounded man. And that unless you are able to extend forgiveness to him, the cycle is going to continue to repeat itself and repeat itself and repeat itself. You see, within the spirit realm, there's this thing called authority, and I know Dwayne is going to be talking on this tomorrow night, and I don't know where he's going with this. I haven't heard him speak on this subject before, but I'm just going to touch on this a little bit tonight. Within a spirit realm, authority is understood in a way that Americans do not understand it. Because see, we live in a democratic nation. Our president is put in not because he was born into royalty, but because he was voted there by the people. And a while back, and I wish I could find it, there was somebody from Britain had come over, and he did a talk on what it means, the whole concept of kingship, and explained it. And I only heard it in a video. I didn't actually hear him speak. The whole concept of what that looks like and how in America we have lost that so drastically. But I will tell you tonight that the spirit realm understands authority. And they understand it so clearly that they will not go where they are not given authority to go. And I'm talking about good spirits or bad spirits. As I understand authority, Jesus was given authority, and in the Garden of Eden, he gave it to man, and he said, you are to be a caretaker of this. I want you to take care of the earth. I want you to do what you're supposed to do. When man listened to the enemy and obeyed Satan rather than God, as Ben was talking about this afternoon, that authority was now given to the demonic realm, to the satanic realm. Satan was given that authority. And the spirit realm understood that. When Jesus died, the sole purpose of what he was doing was to do the will of the Father. But in his death, in being the perfect sacrifice for us, in shedding his blood, there's a verse in Scripture, and I do not have it, but it refers to Jesus going into the deep. And my belief is that during the time that he died, he went into hell to take away from Satan the authority and to take it back to himself. This is the best that I can understand what has happened with authority. Satan had it. Jesus died. He had the right to take it back because he was the sinless man who died in place of all of us. And he had the authority, the legal right to go back and to take that authority. When he ascended into heaven, he said to the disciples that were there with him, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. If you look at that word power, you could put in there authority. Same word. So Jesus is saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And he's saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what I see happening here is a transaction again, where Jesus is saying, I am giving you authority. And that is the authority that we walk in the name of Jesus. We are given the authority from heaven to stand against the demonic forces. We are given the authority to be the men and women that God is calling us to be, not because of our own goodness, not because of our power, but because of what Jesus Christ has given us. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, fathers are called to be an authority within the home. And it's again, I feel like we have misunderstood this concept way too much. And it doesn't mean that I am the boss and that the buck stops here. And yet that's kind of what it means. Bill Gothard, probably most of you have heard this, in his teaching of authority, uses the illustration of umbrellas. When a father is walking under authority, and I'm sure Dwayne is going to get into this much more. I know he is. I know a part of what he's going to talk about. See, the Father is not the main authority. He is under Jesus Christ's authority. And when he is walking in that authority, in the way that he is supposed to, then he is given the authority and it is seen in the spirit realm to be the priest of his family, to be the spiritual leader of his family, to be the provider within his family. That's really what God has called us to be. And it's not It does not mean that dad has the right to take a 2x4 and hit you with it if that's what he wants to do. It means that under Jesus Christ and in the spirit realm, he is given power within the family. Men, we must be standing in the gaps for our families. We have to be praying for our families. We have to be spiritual leaders within our families, because that's who God called us to be. And it doesn't mean at all, and this is a part of where this has been so misunderstood, it does not mean at all that a man is better than a woman, or that woman is subservient to man. That's not what it means at all. A home that functions that way is a home that's going to be in trouble. Within a marriage, there must be a working together of the man and woman, but there must also be an order of headship. And the way that Gothard talks about this umbrella picture is that when I am under authority, then I am under protection. And when I, as a man, am under the authority of Jesus Christ, then my family is protected. But when I allow sin to be a part of my life, it's like taking a machine gun and blowing holes through the umbrella. And if there's enough junk that's going on, the only thing that you've got left is the skeleton with no protection at all. It's a part of what God is calling us to as fathers, to stand up as leaders in our home and to be responsible for who they are. Now I know, I absolutely know, there comes a time where our children make decisions that we don't support. And there comes a time where our children are no longer under that authority. You know, it's part of what God is talking about in marriages is a perfect situation, and I don't think that's the only situation. But when a couple gets married, the Bible says they are to leave the father and mother. A man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Is that right? Did I say that correctly? The picture there is that there is now a new authority. And we are given that authority by Jesus Christ. And I say to you young people here that are living at home, you are responsible to your parents, whether you like it or not. Your dad, you are under your dad's authority. I remember so clearly one night, I was probably about 16 or 17 years old, and some of my friends were going to a concert. And I wanted to go in a bad way. My dad was milking cows that night, and he had just finished up, or he was just, I could see him. I could take you, well, the barn's not even standing anymore, but I could take you to the exact spot. And I went there in fear and trembling, and I asked my dad, I said, "Dad, is it all right if I go to this concert tonight?" And I'll never forget my dad's answer. He looked at me and he said, "You know," he said, "I know you're going to go. If you want to go bad enough, you're going to go, whether I tell you you can or not. So I'm really leaving the decision up to you." I went. I didn't enjoy the concert. See, that was a good use of authority. It really was. Yeah. I don't remember who was there, but I remember going and not really enjoying it that much. You know, man, it is also time that we recognize that it's not the church that is responsible to keep our children in line. That was never a concept that was God ordained. That was something that man brought into play. And when men began to wimp out of their responsibilities and say, "You know what, that's the preacher's job," that's wrong. Man, you are responsible for your families. You're responsible for what your children do and for where they go. And again, I understand that there is a limit to that, but it's a heavy responsibility. But it's very doable by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the power of Jesus Christ, and through His grace. And I'm just so thankful for that. You know, your sons are called to be warriors. And man, we need to show them how to do that. And we need to allow them to do that. You know, we're living in a day where toy guns are being banned. And the stuff that we did as kids, or that I did as kids, you know, riding a bicycle full speed down the hill, knowing there's a ramp at the bottom. We have some good stories with that one. Or taking a neighbor's moped. He'd hang out at our place, first moped we ever had, and we'd ride that all over the place. You know, stuff that is deemed dangerous today. You know what? Fathers and mothers, you need to allow your children, to your boys especially, to be warriors. Don't be afraid, man, of engaging your sons in physical wrestling. There's a couple of my boys I won't mess with anymore. My oldest son, the last time I engaged with him, my side of the story is that it was a draw. All right? And I decided I'd better leave him alone. And a little while later, I find out that he's lifting weights. And I asked him one day, so how much are you lifting? And I found out that he was about 50 pounds over my weight that he was lifting. I said, oh, that's enough, no more. But it's good for our children to be engaged that way. Don't be afraid of tussling with them, not in anger, but in fun. We have a 21-year-old. Out of our five sons, four of them are as tall as me or taller. Three of them weigh as much as I do or more. And, you know, the thing that is happening, our 21-year-old, he loves touch. That's his love language. He just loves to be touched. And I still get in with him, and he can usually put me over pretty easily, but I haven't admitted that to him yet, so that stays here, okay? The funny thing that's happening is our 16-year-old, he's a little taller than I am. He's very thin. Probably weighs about what I did when I got married. I don't know. And, you know, he's thinking that, well, I can do this now, too. But I keep telling him, you know, the thing that's happening, you guys are picking on me younger and younger, and I'm getting older and older, and it really isn't fair. So I've got the 16-year-old and 13-year-old to deal with yet. But you know what? I love it. Just to engage him. To let him feel like a man. Don't be afraid. I'm saying this, okay? Don't be afraid to let him know that they got you, okay? And fathers, your daughters need to know that they are prince, that they are your princess. And I tell you, there is so much that is going wrong with all of this in our country. I must have said something wrong. They're laughing back there. I'm sorry. I don't know what it was. But your daughters need to know your love. There is an epidemic of sexual misconduct within homes. And God forbid that that would ever be in any of our homes. Your daughters need to know that you love them. Don't be afraid of giving them a hug. Don't be afraid of holding them, okay? They need that. There's too many girls today, they're looking for love in the wrong places because they've never received it from Father. And we need to be showing them that. I understand there's a church, I heard this through somebody else, there's a church that had a huge problem with fathers sexually molesting their daughters. Conservative Mennonite church. And their way of dealing with the issue was they made a rule within the church that any girl 6 years or older is not allowed to sit in her dad's lap. And you can only begin to see the devastation and the wounding that that brings into a situation. I don't know that situation firsthand. I've heard it from a reliable source. And God forbid that we would ever attempt to deal with our problems by putting the responsibility on them. God wants us to be whole. He wants to deal with our woundedness. And I tell you, if we are going to be the fathers that we need to be, then it's because we are walking a place of healing. And that the wounds that God shows us, we allow Him to heal. I was talking to a man, he's not here tonight, the other night, on Wednesday night after I talked. He came up to me and he gave me a hug. Known the man for some time. He told me, he said, when I was little, he said, my dad would come after me with a 2x4. He said, I was yelled at so often. And he would hit me with sticks. He said, I was beat by him. He said, God has done a healing in my life. And he said, it's just, sometimes it's a little bit at a time, but he brings back a memory. And he told me about a specific memory where he was supposed to be underneath a piece of equipment, was turning a wrench. And as a young boy, I think he said he was 12 or 13 years old, had no idea, didn't realize that he was turning the nut the wrong way. It's a pretty easy thing to do, isn't it? But as he turned the wrench the wrong way, he pinched his father's thumb. And his father began to yell at him and curse at him. And he went running and he picked up a 2x4. And he started to come after him. And he said, recently, well, a while back, God brought this memory to him. And he said, I was on the floor. He said, I was just weeping before God. And I said, God, Jesus, where were you when my father was chasing me with the 2x4? And he said, God began to speak to me so clearly. And he said, I was there. He said, in fact, you remember your brother came around the corner of the shed right then. And it delayed your dad enough that it allowed you to get away. And Jesus, in his kindness, just began to pour the oil of healing on that. And he became whole. See, that's what we need to do with our woundedness. We try to run away from it. It's going to come back to haunt us. But we need to face it. We need to allow Jesus to be the one to show us where He is and what He is saying to us. And I tell you tonight, God wants to direct us. He wants us to know His voice. He wants us to hear His word. And it's, Dale talked about this last night, and I'm just gonna echo this. When the Bible talks about the Word of God, it is sometimes talking about the written word. But we must, if we want to be men and women of God, we need to be in a position where we will hear the voice of God for us today. I will never believe that that's something that only happened back in the book of Acts. And it's easy for me to say that because I have heard the voice of God. He has spoken to me so clearly on numerous occasions. God wants to impart His will and His word into your life. And fathers, if we are going to be good fathers, we can do it with confidence when we know that God is directing us. And there will be times where we long to hear and we don't hear, but we continue moving forward, we continue seeking. God needs us on our face, He wants us on our face before Him, seeking Him. God's looking for strong men. He's looking for warriors. He wants warriors who will not let go of the sword for even a moment. I just read a post this morning or last night sometime, I don't know when it was, talking about Gideon and his men and how 33,000 came out initially. And Gideon said, how many of you are afraid? You can go home. And what was it, 1,000 that were left, I think? 32,000 went home. And he took them to the brook and he said, take a drink. And the people that God wanted to use, the people that would not let go of the sword, even when for a moment they were taking a drink of water. Man, we must be engaged in battle for our families. That's what God wants from us. This afternoon as I was sitting here, I was just asking God. I said, God, I don't know where to go tonight. And he just began to download some stuff into me that really spoke to me. And there's one portion of scripture I want to read. Actually, there's several I want to look at here as I wind this down. Luke chapter 15, I believe it is. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 22. Very, very familiar story. It's the story of the prodigal son. You can turn there if you want. I'm going to read it. If you don't want to, that's okay. Just listen in. As I look at this story, I felt many times that it should rather be called the story of the faithful father. And I see God all over this father. He has a picture of God as he looks at us. You know, I grew up under a lot of just feeling like I needed to measure up, and I couldn't. But God, all God wants from us is he wants us to believe in him. He's not looking for us to perform. And what this father does in his parable is just such a beautiful thing. And I'm just going to read through it. Beginning at verse 11, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the land, in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son, was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The other brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered, 'Father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your prosperity with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" That story touched me today like it never has before. And that is the love of God. That is our Father, God, who is not looking for the right performance. But he is waiting for his sons and his daughters to come back. And he is watching with no condemnation. There's significance in the things the Father did. He saw him when he was still a long ways off. And he ran to meet him. The Son had his line all prepared. And he was saying, you know, I don't even deserve to be your son. Just let me be your servant. But I would dare to say that he never got that line out. Because the Father fell on his neck and embraced him. And he received him. You know, fathers, when our children step out of line, we can respond a lot of different ways. We can respond out of judgment. We can respond out of our own pain. Or we can choose, that was not my phone, by the way. Or we can choose to respond from the heart of Father God. And I believe the choice is very obvious when we look at the way God responded. And I tell you, I haven't been there. I don't know what it's like to have a child that's wayward. But I would dare to say that there are people here. We all know people that have been there, right? Let's be careful how we pass judgment on those situations. I had a friend years ago. He really got to be a good friend. I haven't seen him in a long time. He used to be the pioneer salesman in our area. He grew up in Pennsylvania. He moved into New York for his work. Dear brother, just connected with him in spirit. And we began to talk one day. And as he was growing up, he had a cousin that was his age that left the church, turned his back on the Lord, lived a life of sin. And later he came back. And my friend's name is Ken, and he went to his cousin one day and he said, "So tell me, what was the hardest thing for you in coming back? What was the hardest thing you heard in that whole process?" He says, "You know, there was never once where anybody came to me and talked to me or showed me love. And God forbid that that happens in our churches or in our homes." And I understand that there is incredible pain at times, and I'm speaking as a father who hasn't experienced that. But I would challenge you to follow the heart of God and do what he did. When he gave him the robe is a sense of, in the Old Testament time, the robe is a sense of identity, belonging. The Father gave him the best robe. He put a ring on his finger. The ring symbolizes authority. He said, "You're not going to be a servant. I am giving you authority." He put sandals on his feet. The sandals symbolize sonship, because the servants were barefooted. But he gave him shoes on his feet, and he gave him a very clear message that, you know, you're not just a servant, you are my son. He took the fattened calf, and he created a meal that was just out of this world to give him a party. He said, "Look, you are mine. You belong here." And that's powerful. You know, for us today, Jesus, in his baptism, when he came out of the water, the skies opened, the dove came and descended on him, and he heard a voice. And I believe probably the people around him heard a voice. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you are God's child, because you are God's child, he wants you to know that you are his son and daughter, and that he is pleased with you. If you are walking in the light that he has given you, enough condemnation has been given around, spread around. We don't need that. It should not be a part of our lives. Embrace the love of the Father. Allow him to put on you the robe of righteousness. There's verses, I think it's in Ephesians, where it talks about that. Our identity is changed because of Jesus Christ. And he puts on us the robe of righteousness. And my understanding of that is when God looks at you and he looks at me, those of us who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, he does not see our sinfulness, but he looks at us and he sees righteousness because of Jesus Christ. God has also given us authority. And I talked about that earlier. We are given authority in the name of Jesus to engage the enemy in battle, not in our strength. There's a strong reminder of that in the book of Jude. It just came to my memory. If I remember correctly, in the book of Jude, it refers to a time where Michael the archangel did not even dare to engage in battle. And I don't remember exactly what the scenario was. The only way that we are ready to engage is through the power of Jesus Christ and because of what he has done for us. I was talking about that story earlier. I never really finished it. The son had changed his name. He changed it back. Right now, he is at home working in his father's business. His time in Japan, when his father came to see him and to take him home, his father was telling me this. It was a time of his eyes being opened. Because in Japan, there's a strong emphasis on respecting your elders, much more than here in America. And as he would introduce his father to people, they would say, "You don't have the same last name. What's the deal with that?" And my friend said, "Well," he said, "I just kind of shrugged it off." But he said it began to do something in his son. And they spent the next week and a half or 2 weeks together. And I believe that God has done a healing there. In order to come back to the business, the father told the son, "You know, it really would be good." He said, "I'm not telling you what you have to do. But," he said, "I would really encourage you to take on my name." And he did. And I know that it's brought joy to his father. But I see that the father is now on a mission with his father. And he wants to ask some hard questions. And he wants to come to a place of healing. I mentioned the other night that hurt people hurt people. And that is always true. But healed people will help people. None of us are at the place where we're totally healed. God continues to bring things up in all of our lives and show us areas, you know, this is something that needs to be repented of. And I'm pretty much convinced that, you know, that's going to probably continue until the day we die. You know, I'm a little more than 50 years old. I used to figure by the time I'm 50, I'd have this all figured out. And it doesn't work that way. It's a journey that we're on. And God is continuing to shape us and to make us who he wants to be. I'd like to go to a scripture in Exodus chapter 20. And Dwayne talked about this scripture this morning. I'm talking about the iniquities of the fathers. Or talking about the subject of iniquity. We don't need to live in fear to those things, okay? We don't have to. It sounds scary when you think about, okay, this stuff in my past, it could affect my kids. It will affect my children. And it will. But we don't need to live in fear. There's a verse here, and I had looked it up. Forget the reference. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Some translations use the words of self-discipline. God has not given us a spirit of fear. 1 John 4, I think it is, says perfect love casts out fear. And so we don't need to walk around saying, "Oh my, is there something in my past? There's something in my past that is keeping my children from walking in." No, that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about coming before God in honesty and in humility and allowing God in his holiness to put his finger on those areas of our lives and then dealing with them in repentance and in taking them to the cross and renouncing any spirit attachment that is there. My parents did some of that, and I don't know the process. I don't know how they did it. But when my parents were new believers, they realized that my grandma had dabbled in witchcraft as an Amish lady. And my mom and dad dealt with that. And I'm so grateful they have. You see, it's not about fear, but it's about walking in the knowledge that God has given us. So what God wants is us to walk close to Him. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to hear. He wants us to hear Him speak. And so when He begins to show that area in your life, you know, son, daughter, that's something that shouldn't be there, He touches it. When others, a voice of condemnation says, yeah, you're never going to be good enough. You're never going to measure up. You can know that's not from God, because that's condemnation. God, in His tenderness, will always speak in love, and He will touch those areas, and He will show us clearly what is going on. So walk in the power that you have. Have your heart open to what God is doing, and allow Him to show you. Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to read this verse. Ben, I touched on a part of this morning. I'm going to begin at verse 4. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Verse 6 is a verse I want to focus on tonight. But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You see, it's not a one-sided promise. And for those who hate Him, God is saying it's the third or fourth generation. But I am extremely grateful that He also says that it's to thousands of generations, to those who love Him. You can take that to the bank. Okay, that's good. One more verse I'd like to look at, and I'm going to wrap up. Book of Malachi, last book in the Bible, the last verses. Malachi here is a prophet, and he is speaking words to the house of Israel. We're going to read verse 5 and 6. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. There's a word of prophecy. It's to the house of Israel. I will send Elijah. The New Testament talks about John the Baptist coming in the spirit of Elijah. And his message was, prepare ye the way. There's one coming after me. Prepare ye the way. I believe the fulfillment of this prophecy is yet to come, the full fulfillment. But I believe it's happening today. Okay? God says that I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. And I believe, Leah, we are living in a day where that is happening. And that's a good thing. I believe, Leah, we are living in a time where there will be and is beginning to be a hunger for God from those who never knew Him. I believe, Leah, we are living in the last days. Could be tomorrow. Could be 200 years from now. I don't know. But there is stuff happening. And I've heard people talk about this verse, that they see this happening across our country, where the hearts of the fathers is being turned to the children, and the hearts of the children is being turned to the fathers. I tell you, that is exciting to me, because that talks about relationship. It talks about healing. It talks about wholeness coming in that. And I believe we are living in that day. And I tell you, if you are a father here tonight, you have sons and daughters, I just challenge you. Lead them with the authority that God has given, that you have been given from heaven. Lead your family with that authority. Open your heart to hear from God. Let Him show you where He wants to take you. If you have sons and daughters, love on them. I've had people ask me numerous times, and I tell you, I say this, let me just finish, okay? I've had people ask me numerous times, so what is the secret? How do you maintain relationship with your sons and daughters? And I don't know what to say. I honestly do not know what to say. But I will tell them, and I'm not even sure what all this means, but your children need to know that you believe in them. And that you're behind them. And that you're there to encourage them, to help them along, not to tear them down. I don't know where you all are tonight. If there's sons and daughters here tonight, and I just speak to you blessing. And I just challenge you to honor your parents. Recognize that they are authority that is given to you by God, and that they are walking under His authority to fulfill His purpose. You know, we may live in a dark time, but we live in a great time. And we do not need to fear bringing up children in this world, but we can do it with confidence, knowing that God is King. I just want to bless all of you tonight. I want to encourage you to walk in the destiny that God has for you. Walk in His calling. Don't ever give that up. And I know, I am human, and there's times where days are dark. And I'm like, you know, what am I doing here? And the job falls apart. And the money is tight. And the church that I was a part of isn't working out. But let's not give up on the goodness of God and on His purpose and His plan for us. Let's press in to know Him more. That's my desire. That's what I want. And that is the hope that we have for fathering in future generations. It's in knowing Jesus Christ and conveying His message of love to those around us.